session number 20935, reel 4.
Les Gibson, reel 4.
I remember these locusts attacking the camp, and there were swarms of them. They're horrible things. They just sort of fall down and hit you in the face, you know. I think they fly with the wind. And everybody was out killing them. But some of the Egyptians, which were Arabs which worked with us, they were... They used to be a delicacy to them. They used to eat them, you know. And everyone was out killing them. The cooks were out. I think even the officer in charge, the colonel, was out killing them as well. I think it's the first time I've ever seen anything like that. Yeah.
How did you like being in Palestine?
I didn't like it at all. Didn't like it at all. Yeah, we had an RSM there called the Buzz Bomb. We were in, I think it was Normandy. We'd pulled us out the line for a rest, and he even had us boning our boots, which meant a hell of a lot of work, boning this, polishing your boots, spitting polish, you know. We'd come out for a rest, and this is the sort of thing they were giving us, you know. And we was doing parades and all that. And he earned his name of the Buzz Bomb by... he was marching us along this country road where the ditches was on each side. And there was one of these flying bombs come over. And we are still marching along. And the Buzz Bomb, the RSM, jumps into the ditch. And of course, we are still marching on, aren't we? And that's why he was called the Buzz Bomb. He was nicknamed the Buzz Bomb. Unusual man, you know. He was ex-Gods. I think his name was Scotney, if I remember rightly. Yeah. Yeah, he was a funny chap.
Any other incidents happened to you in Palestine?
Not really. It was just a matter of surviving there, you know. We'd had enough from D-Day, because 3rd Div was the only division to serve over there from D-Day to VE Day. It was the only division that, you know, was kept whole. I can't think of much more, really.
So how did your time in Palestine end?
I was demobbed there. I was demobbed from the camp, and the ceremony was that you were piped out the gates. It was a terrible feeling to leave the regiment, you know, leave all the chaps and that. And I was the only one who was demobbed at that time, and I remember being pulled along in this jeep by about 20 or 30 men and cheering through the gates and bagpipes playing and, you know, very, very tearful, I would say. You know, it's really choked.
According to your record of service, it was the 1st of November 1947.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel now about having served with the Borders?
I feel proud of having served with two fine regiments. Yes, two fine regiments. And the Glengarry and the Feather seems to attract a lot of, especially when you're up the town and you know, when say the VE Day parade and that, a lot of foreign tourists coming up and asking to have the photo taken and that, you know. And we're very lucky here in London, because we have the Taxi Association, who once a year take us to Worthing for the day, It's a day out. They pick you up at the door, take you to where then you have a nice lunch and all that, and a few drinks. Everything's free laid on. You meet Vera Lynn and the local, probably the local mayor and some other high person, you know. And for the anniversary of D-Day, the taxis took us over to Normandy. That was all free. I think we was over there for about 5 days. There was about 80 taxis altogether, and the taxi come and picked me up, another couple of chaps in it, and we met up at Horse Guards Parade. There was about 80 taxis lined up there, and my friend George, who was in the regiment, Big George, he was with me, and Vera Lynn was there, the Queen Mother was there, and they seen us up from there. We had police motorcycle escort from Horse Guards Parade down to the docks. We had, and then once we got over to the other side, I'm forgetting the name of the place now, not far from Cannes where we docked. I'll remember the name shortly. When we got there, we had the French police motorcyclists escorting us. You can imagine 80 taxis in a big column, you know. And we got a hotel in Cannes, which the 3rd Div had captured, funny enough, because they've still got a big Div sign there. We weren't far from the Peace Museum, which they built.
Could I just ask you about one or two things that you were telling me about Normandy?
Yeah.
Could you go through your landing on D-Day again?
Yeah.
Just take me through it, please.
Yeah. As I say, as we approached the shore, it seemed quite, I know the sea that was rough, but it was quite misty and that. It could see the shells bursting on the shore. When we got there, the first thing I know, oh yeah, our boat was hit first. Well, it wasn't actually hit, the shell ricocheted underneath the flat bottom. There was quite a bit of stuff flying about, rounds of ammunition and that, you know, snipers. And little Harry jumped off the boat, he was okay. Professor jumped off, he went completely underwater. We pulled him out. My close friend got around across his back and it went into his shoulder. Had it been a bit higher, it would have went into his neck. Saw this tank in the distance, a fire, a blaze. There was bodies around it. And this chap came up with his, what do you call them? I don't know, jerkin, that's it. The jerkin, which was smouldering. Managed to put that out. He had no face, just a balloon face. Previous to that, I took my friend up to the first aid, which was a pillbox on the beach. And then I took this chap up to the first aid and left him there. Came back, we were still pinned down. We was behind the jeep, pinned down with the snipers and that, you know, because apparently it was supposed to have been a convalescent home by the Germans. That hadn't been a target, as it was, as I say, a convalescent place. And then after that, we did take some prisoners on the way. We had to sort of mop up here and there because we went in at the side of the 231 Brigade, which was the assault brigade for 50 Div, being 10 Beach Group. And then we started getting the beach organised. I remember they had a lot of Germans who must have been mine experts because they got them down to sort the mines out on these girders. Yeah.
Which was the worst experience for you during your service, would you say?
worst experience, I think when we was in the line, when we were doing attacks and that was the worst time.
In any particular place?
Any place, you're expecting to be killed in any attack or whatever, you know. It was all bad. I mean, as they say, the infantry is the PBI, the poor bloody infantry, because we're always there. I mean, we're full-time soldiers.
And in KOSB, what number did your platoon have?
I was in 9 platoon.
In which company?
A company. A company, 9 platoon.
In KOSB?
Yes, and I was A company, 9 platoon in the border regiment previous to that.
You mentioned these snow suits. What did they consist of?
They were sort of a heavy linen stuff. And what happened was they were short of these suits, and the next patrol used to wear the suit what you had just taken off, because, as I say, there wasn't, man, sometimes it was frozen solid, the suits, you know. It was like trying to put a wooden suit on, if you can imagine the stiffness of that. Yeah, it was a sort of a cotton, white cotton, and all you could see of a person was just a black hole there. You couldn't see any face with a white suit being on, you know. You're just looking at a dark hole. Couldn't see a face.
What rank did you finish up with?
I was a paid Lance Corporal.
When you were in Germany, did you have much contact with German civilians?
Yes, we did. We weren't supposed to, but one or two of them did try and speak to us, you know. Because where we were in the school, it was a wooded area behind that, and it wasn't far from the Russian camp. And if it was a sunny day and we was off duty, then we'd go and sit probably with our back next to a tree, you know, and get a bit of sunshine and that, relax a bit. And it was funny enough, you should mention that, me and my friend were sitting there one day, and there was these two soldiers coming along, and as they got near, I couldn't believe it. I looked at this chap, he was ex-border regiment, and as he got nearer and nearer, I couldn't believe it. He was supposed to be dead. I was told he'd been killed, and he's down on the list, the present day list, as being dead. And what had happened was, because when I see him, I says, "You're supposed to be dead." I said, "You're not supposed to be." And he started laughing, you know, because we was all about 19 and that then, you know. And he was a Geordie. He was from Gateshead, this lad. And he said, "No," he said, "I wasn't dead." He says, "It was my friend who was killed." He says, "We was in the same trench, and the shell had landed near and more or less buried both of them, but his friend had caught a lot of shrapnel, I believe, in the head or someplace, you know." And Hawkins, that was his name. Hawkins was the lad's name, yeah.
This was at Recklinghausen?
Yeah, when my friend and I was sitting relaxing in, there was sort of a woods at the back, and then you get the occasional German come along, you know, and as I say, we weren't supposed to speak to him, but now and again they'd say a word like, you know, V-gates or something like that in German, you know.
Did you get any hostility from Germans?
No. Not really, no, because they more or less kept themselves to themselves, you know. I mean, we had these orders, no fraternising.
I think you've missed out the fact that you were in both Operation Goodwood and Operation Bluecoat.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your memories, first of all, of Goodwood?
Goodwood, well, it was more or less similar to any other. It was more or less country fighting, you know. I think the I think we were on the flanks of I forget the name of the town there.
Truong.
We were more or less on the flanks because it was we always seemed to get the flank jobs, you know, to come in on the side, and it was mostly where we were. It was mostly a village type of situation, you know. But the main attack was done by the other brigades into the town centre. I think the reason being because one of them was Monty's old regiment, the Warwicks, and I think he was so he was so in love with the regiment that it seemed they always got to take the spearhead, you know. Yeah.
And Bluecoats
was similar. Similar, a lot of street fighting. Is it there again? I've forgotten a lot of the names of the places, you know.